Hello everybody. China has been on a roller coaster in 2018, and so in this podcast we're going to speak to Dale Nichols, who manages the Fidelity China Special Situations Investment Trust, to find out how he can take advantage.
The more market-related areas have clearly seen a correction, and I think that's provided real opportunity.
So what are these market-related opportunities? Stay tuned after the following messages to find out.
The value of investments can fall and you may get back less than you invested. Past performance is not a reliable guide to future performance. The podcast is not intended as investment advice. No investment is suitable in all cases. Any tax allowances or thresholds mentioned are based on personal circumstances and current legislation, which may change. We or a connected party may have an interest in the securities mentioned or may act as principal or agent in those securities from time to time. The podcast content comes from diverse sources whose accuracy cannot be assured. The opinions expressed in this publication are not necessarily held throughout Bruin Dolphin. Investment in currencies other than your own means changes in the exchange rate will cause the value of your investment to move independently of the underlying asset.
Hello everybody, welcome to another Bruin podcast with me, Guy Foster, the head of research at Bruin Dolphin. I'm joined on this occasion by Dale Nichols, who's returning to the Bruin podcast. You may remember him as the manager of the Fidelity China Special Situations Investment Trust. It's a really interesting trust. It's got some unlisted investments, it's got some gearing, can use options, shorts, so all the bells and whistles that you need. It's obviously also investing in a very interesting part of the market at what is quite an interesting time for that particular part of the market. So very timely, and we're delighted to have Dale here. Dale, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Perhaps we could start then by talking about the portfolio. All right. And just where are you seeing the opportunities at the moment?
It's across a number of areas, but obviously we've seen a correction recently. I think a lot of that, sort of general sentiment towards emerging markets, but particularly for China, I think there's obviously concerns around trade and the potential impact of tariffs. We've had 34 billion implemented, potentially another 200 billion coming. So I think there's definitely concerns around that. So obviously, the companies that could be impacted by that, we've seen a sort of a bigger correction in the A-share market. The more market-related areas have clearly seen a correction, and I think that's provided real opportunity. Particularly in areas like insurance, which I think, have really strong long-term prospects given low penetration, particularly in the sort of more higher protection type products, which is, really generates a lot of returns, higher returns generally for, the insurance companies. So you've got, these companies sort of back to historical lows in terms of valuations, despite the strong long-term prospects. And, in terms of, I guess there's concern around equity exposure for these companies, but, for the key companies that I own in the portfolio, the equity exposure is like less than 10% of their portfolio.
Well, so their assets are equity, right?
Right. Okay. It's quite small. So we think it's, the impact is definitely manageable. And again, when you can buy companies with great long-term prospects at historical low valuations, that I think provides real opportunity.
So you said that the stocks that you hold have low equity exposure. Do you think there are some others then that perhaps do have a bit more?
Yeah, I think it does vary across the range of the companies. Some will be higher, but you're not talking huge exposure for most of the companies, to be honest, most of the insurance companies. I guess clearly the securities brokers as well have been impacted, but I think they're getting interesting too, as sort of historical low valuations, despite, real potential to grow with the natural development of financial markets in China, particularly the ones that are really focused on institutional clients, because that's the area of the markets that's going to grow. As you know, the A-share market is primarily retail-driven. But over time, it will become more institutionalized. You'll get more foreigners clearly owning more of the market as well. So the sort of long-term story is there in that space as well.
That's a continuation then of the things like the MSCI edition and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that.
They'll clearly benefit from that. And that's a really strong story for China in the midterm. And we think, across, the whole equity market, so that will drive the biggest asset allocation shift in equities, in the next decade. So China, as you know, representing you know, probably, you know, 3% or less of global markets, despite being a mid-teens percentage of global GDP. That clearly should start to close over time. And I think the first step with the A-share inclusion is the beginning of that. And, you know, if we, you know, on sort of pro forma, you know, estimates that we, you know, forecast, you know, China with full inclusion should go to being more than 40% of emerging markets, global emerging markets, and more than 60% of Asia. So I think it's a matter of time before we start looking at, you know, Asia ex-China as opposed to sort of, you know, the Asia ex-Japan focus that we currently have.
So you're talking about A-shares there. Your trust invests in domestically listed stuff, so A-shares, Hong Kong listed stuff, and some things listed elsewhere as well.
That's right.
So how much of the portfolio can take advantage of the opportunities then that you're talking about specifically there?
Well, I'll have a great deal of freedom, actually. So, you know, obviously, you know, you have the US listed ADRs, you know, the A shares, you know, the H shares, but even in other markets where, you know, you can buy companies that have a lot of China exposure. So actually have some companies in Taiwan, some in Singapore that have, you know, significant China exposure. So, I mean, that's part of the attraction of the trust is having that flexibility, you know, to, you know, capitalize, you know, on, you know, all markets really. So, you know, I look at anything with serious China exposure.
And are you rotating, are you moving a lot of that into A shares then at the moment?
I have added, you know, with the significant correction in A shares, I have added more in the A share holdings, particularly in, areas like surveillance. So, you know, the whole area of surveillance is a big market, but still growing strongly. So the likes of Hikvision, DARPA, they're the top two players who incidentally, I think have good, you know, potential to sort of gain share over time in the surveillance market. I also think they're doing
surveillance.
Right.
Give a bit more detail.
Sure. So, you know, these guys are putting surveillance systems together. Obviously for government is a big customer, but also, you know, a whole range of customers. You know, surveillance systems, you know, the penetration is increasing.
Meaning,
you know,
like CCTV in homes. Or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So in homes, in businesses, but also, you know, for government as well. Obviously it's a big focus, you know, for the Chinese government. My sense is that they're actually, you know, the services they're providing are really increasing. So they'll never break out a software line for you, but, you know, it's pretty clear they're using, you know, the significant amounts of data that they're getting, you know, particularly around facial recognition, et cetera, and developing better algorithms, which I think are feeding into better services for their customers and probably better pricing as well. So, you know, these companies have also been sold off, and this is a, you know, good opportunity to add to what are pretty strong long-term prospects.
Okay, and I mentioned all the sorts of the different tools and bells and whistles that you've got at the moment.
Right.
How are you using those? Can you give some examples?
Well, I mean, I think leverage would be the first one.
Yeah.
So, you know, when the market was strong, you know, not surprisingly, I was you know, reducing some of the long positions, adding to some shorts, and so you sort of the net gearing, you know, come down to, you know, sort of mid to low teens. You know, with the recent correction, I have the ability to, you know, add to the longs, and that's moved the net gearing up to about 120% right now. So that's, gearing would definitely, you know, be one area. Shorting another. But also, you know, the ability to invest in the unlisteds, I think is really compelling. This, you know, there's just so much entrepreneurial activity in China, and a lot of it's happening in companies that are private before they come to market. It's kind of a trend, I guess, that's happening globally, companies coming later. So being able to access those opportunities, you know, I think is pretty powerful. And we have increased the weight to the unlisteds in the portfolio. So, you know, it's moved up to about 5.7%. And that's a combination of some uplift on existing holdings, but, you know, we've definitely added some holdings. Earlier we were saying we've got six, but we actually just had one list last night. So, I guess it's down to five now.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the prospects, you know, I think across all the holdings are really strong. So maybe just to touch on a couple. So, you know, Didi Chuxing, which is the leader in ride sharing in China. You know, very strong market position, more than 90% market share, particularly having acquired Uber's business in China. And they're delivering over 25 million rides a day. So more than Uber globally, just in China. And again, I think it's an example of how these technology shifts that we're seeing globally are just happening faster in China. So it's great that we're able to access those types of opportunities. Another one is Meituan Dianping, which leads in many online services, food delivery, you know, restaurant recommendations and booking, and increasingly hotels. Hotel booking is an area that's, you know, that's really growing for them as well, and I think, you know, has really strong prospects as well.
Because we were talking about the Asia market, we spoke to a fund manager a few weeks ago who feels like 10% of the Asia market, he suggested, may turn out to be frauds. Does that seem outlandish as a claim, or is it just the kind of thing that requires a lot of due diligence to avoid those mishaps?
Okay. Well, I'd be curious to how he got the number, but you know, I think corporate governance is a challenge in any emerging market. And, you know, China is no exception. I think progress has been made. We went through a period, particularly with, you know, we had a lot of reverse mergers, you know, companies that hadn't been through the IPO process and, you know, probably sort of, you didn't get the same due diligence, that you do in other areas. I think it's definitely a challenge. You know, but that's why we're meeting companies all the time, you know, getting conviction around management. We do background checks, looking for red flags. You know, it's kind of part of the job. But, I think things will improve over time. I think the fact that you've had, you know, a much bigger proportion in the market of truly great companies come through helps, the likes of Alibaba, Tencent, et cetera. I think there's also a recognition that, good governance feeds into a good multiple, and you know, many companies really do need the capital. So, you know, it will still be a challenge, but I think things are improving at the margin, and you know, we do get the sense that, you know, that regulation will improve. You know, we're obviously, you know, in contact with the regulators on the ground in China, and they're looking for feedback, and we're giving it to them. So I think things will improve over time.
You mentioned Alibaba and Tencent. Am I right you don't have any Baidu?
I do not. Right.
Is there a concern that you have with it?
I think, their core search business, will probably lose market share over time as a share of online advertising. I think you'll see much greater growth in, you know, the areas of, you know, for example, you know, social networking, the likes of Tencent. Your advertising businesses at Tencent, and probably and Alibaba as well, will just grow faster. I think they'll take, you know, the whole social area will take more share of the advertising dollar going forward.
So, I mean, we love to sort of extract, compare and contrast between the FANGs that we all know and their Chinese equivalents. Obviously, Google having a good time and less positive on Baidu.
Right.
Facebook obviously not having a great time, but you'd be still very positive on Tencent.
I am. We'll have similar challenges. There's no question that user growth will slow. They're already over a billion users, so user growth, you know, mathematically has to slow down. But, you know, the big difference, obviously, with Tencent is there's just much more. I mean, in terms of the levels of monetization, they're a fraction of Facebook. So there's lots of areas that they can really grow advertising dollars over time. And, you know, we get, you know, as we look at the new services, et cetera, that they're building into WeChat, we're quite encouraged by, you know, the monetization potential that's there on that platform.
One of the things that we've heard a lot about as a result of the sort of change in policy from the Chinese authorities is an increase in defaults, in corporate defaults. Right. Is that impacting the equity market? Is it a sort of alpha in your shorts? Is it
I mean, definitely defaults have picked up. I don't think it's a surprise as things have slowed, and, you know, again, in certain sectors, there's been really significant debt issuance, and a lot of that is coming due in terms of maturities, particularly for a lot of bonds. You know, I think this process is actually positive in the long term. I think as we talked about in the past, my biggest concern about China is the growth in credit that we saw post the GFC. You know, a massive increase in debt to GDP. I do think there's an increasing focus on the financial risks around that. And so you're seeing, you know, credit growth slow, particularly in shadow banking. That's a real area of focus. So, you know, that whole area is shrinking, which I think will impact growth, you know, in the short term, but I think it's positive for the long term. And I think the increasing in defaults, reflects that. You know, I still own none of the Chinese banks. You know, I think the sort of overall NPL levels that are being reported are too low. You know, true levels being higher or headed higher, and, you know, will probably come through as we see those, as we see those defaults come through. So, you know, I'd be wary of, you know, I'd be wary of the banks. I'd be wary of sectors that do have, you know, significant exposure. I mean, who've bought, you know, particularly, you know, areas like real estate, where I think the best of the fundamentals are behind us. And a lot of these companies have pretty stretched balance sheets, and pretty significant borrowing from that shadow banking sector that's being targeted. So, I would expect more pain from those types of areas. And that's where the areas that, I don't own in the portfolio.
Okay. Well, I think we better wrap up, although we could easily talk to you for plenty more time, but, what we're seeing in the market at the moment, maybe a bit of stability coming back to the UN. You kind of alluded to the fact that you reduced your gearing when the market was a bit higher. Mm. Are you feeling that the adjustment has run its course? Are you turning more positive now?
I'm turning more positive in the sense of really just about valuation and I guess the fear that's creeped into the market that reflects that, the concerns around trade. You know, who knows how things with trade will play out? There could be more tough headlines. You know, there's a good chance that the other $200 billion do go into effect. But, you know, for me, I'm focused on fundamentals. Obviously, I'm evaluating the potential impact it can have on the portfolio. When I just see, you know, really good companies that are getting cheap, and you know, just reflecting the confidence I have about the ability for these companies to grow over time, this is the time to take bigger bets. That's okay. My approach.
All right. Well, Dale Nichols, manager of the Fidelity China Special Situations Trust, thank you very much for joining us for another podcast. And thanks to all our listeners for joining us as well. We hope to join you. We hope to see you again for our next Bruin podcast. Mm-hmm.